KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
How important is your family to you? How about if you get an experience of being able to foster children? How much more important does the value of the family become in your life? Well, Renee Howitt is my guest, and she is an author and an educator and the founder of COPE 24. What is the COPE 24 program? We're going to find out. And guess what? It all started because of fostering children and getting to know the real needs of so many children today. I'm Judy Redlich. Renee, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you.
Renee, tell us a little bit about your family. You have three children.
Yes, we have three daughters, my husband and I. We've been married for 39 years. We have five grandchildren now, ranging from 1 year. Two of them will turn 1 year this month. And a 3-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 10-year-old.
Wow. Where did your passion for children and the family start?
Well, our story goes back about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago. I, as an adult, you know that child abuse exists and you know that people foster and they adopt. Beyond that, we didn't really know anything. And I was a stay-at-home mom. My daughters were between the ages of 7 and 14. So now all of them are in school full time, and I'm sort of starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel where I can start being with adults and my peers again while they're in school. And then these two children entered our lives. We didn't anticipate it. We didn't seek it out. It was a family member, and I could tell in fairly short order that these children were at best being severely neglected.
What did you do?
Well, we supported this family in every way possible for about 3 years. My husband got the father a job, and we got them a home to rent, and we put all the appliances in it, and we supplemented their income. And in addition to that, we watched the children anytime they needed somebody to care for their children. And these children were at our home 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. It wasn't daycare, but they were around often enough that I was seeing things that I knew I should not be seeing. And I, when these children were 3 and 5 years old, I was the one that made that hotline phone call to the state of Missouri and said, look, I think you need to investigate this. And if you see what I see, we are willing to be a resource to the state of Missouri. We're willing to foster. We're even willing to adopt these children, but you have to walk us through it. You have to make it legal. We don't know anything about this system. And that's pretty much what ignited my last 20 years.
Of service. And you wrote the book, Whose Best Interest?
Yes.
From an inspiration from that time. Talk about your book.
Yeah. You know, fortunately, the 3 years that we were observing these kids, and we knew that this was going to have to happen. My husband and I sat our daughters down, and, you know, we had a family vote because if these children came to live with us, everybody's life was going to be changed. And fortunately, somebody in the extended family said, if you're going to make that phone call, you need to start documenting. And so I took up that challenge, and I sat at my computer every morning and documented anything that had happened the day before. I did that every single day for 4 years. And our fight would last for 4 years. There would be 3 rounds. The children would come and live with us for extended periods of time, and we would have to give them back to this mom. Every time.
I bet that was just heartbreaking.
It was, because, and no anger at the mom. She was very troubled from her childhood, which that's how this goes. There's a cycle to abuse and neglect. But she wasn't any healthier. And the second time we had to give these children back, it was 2.5 years into our fight. I was so appalled by the things I had learned about the system that I sat down with the notes that I had journaled and I began writing. I have no qualifications. I'm not a writer. I've never worked for child welfare or social services or even as an educator. That's not my background. And I started writing. My husband kept saying, that must be your therapy. And I don't know. but it became a manuscript. And surprisingly enough, a publishing house took up the manuscript and made it into a book.
And today you're a member to the Missouri Children's Justice Task Force, and you were appointed, why? Because of your experience and the book you wrote?
Actually, it was because of the book. You know, I envisioned the book creating different outcomes, but those outcomes didn't happen what I imagined. You know, that's how it is with God. I got a call from the director of social services saying that she had read the book and she would like to meet with me. And she appointed me to Missouri's Children's Justice Task Force, the CJA. You go through an approval process that the Chief Justice has to sign off on. And I began serving on that committee in March of 2008. And actually, I think next year I'll term out of that committee. That committee, about 2 or 3 years later, formed a subcommittee called the Critical Event Review Committee. And I also sit on that committee. And we review cases where the worst has happened to a child. And the government wants to know why. The federal government wants to know why. These are cases. These aren't like the random case where a 911 call came in and the police officer shows up and a child is dead. And this family was never on the radar. These are cases that are open cases with judges and lawyers and social workers, caseworkers, CASA, CAC, and yet a child is still dead or been so severely injured they'll never be healthy again, and the federal government wants to know why would that happen. So we do those case reviews, and we're looking for systemic recommendations for change.
You know, recently our children went through their final adoption phase to adopt their little boy, Jackson Levi.
That's awesome.
And we sat in the courtroom with them to hear the proceedings. And at the end, of course, Jackson talked and jabbered. He jabbered all the way through. And the ladies in the courtroom said, "We wish every case would turn out this way. This has been a happy case for us." And we knew their plight of wanting to have a child for 9 years, and now Jackson was really a part of their family. And it was such a joyous occasion. And you wonder why so much abuse and neglect happens, don't you, Renee?
Yes. Well, that's been my banner. So after I served at just one task force meeting, that committee is comprised of stakeholders across Missouri. All of those people have much more education, work experience. They know how to navigate the political system. They're judges and lawyers and doctors, nurses, sheriffs, detectives, just all sorts of stakeholders. And I sat at one meeting and could tell these people aren't any closer to a solution than I am. Mm. And that's what led me to go into our schools, because I thought our teenagers are the future. Maybe if I speak to enough of them, they'll be the ones leading our state in 25 years. And plant seeds is all I was trying to do.
Renee founded the program COPE 24, Changing Our Parenting Experience Organization. So you speak across the nation as a result of your passion.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us more about COPE 24.
So I got connected fairly quickly with a group of teachers called Family and Consumer Science. Those, when I was in school, were known as home economics teachers, and they taught cooking and sewing. But mm-hmm. now, those teachers teach parenting, child development, family relations, human growth, all sorts of classes, even health. And they got it. They were teaching this stuff already. And the problem for me as I went to school and spoke in these classes was that only about 10% of the student population take those classes, but more than 80% of us become parents. And when we have this national health crisis, that's a big deal. So I had this idea for a parenting skill program that was reality-based, and I was out of town when I got the idea, and I couldn't wait to get home, shared it with my husband, and he said, "Wait a second now. You can't start producing stuff without having a nonprofit." And he actually shared with me how to do that. My husband's background is banking.
Wow.
And I listened to him talk about what you have to do to form a nonprofit, and I just slugged my shoulders. I was like, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to help kids. And he looked at me and smiled and he said, you are an athlete. You've always been a part of teams. You put together a team of people and they will help you do that. And so that's what I did.
And you're working on a documentary series?
Yes. So we started with the COPE 24 Parenting Skill Program. That is 10 5-minute videos. Each one of those videos is a very common, frustrating, and stressful parenting situation. I don't care if you're rich or poor, you're white or black, you live in the city or the country. All babies cry. Nobody wants to listen to a baby cry, but they all cry. All toddlers throw tantrums. All children don't want to go to bed at night, which was my personal parenting nightmare. They need to be potty trained. They're going to lie to you. They need help with their homework. All of those things that we find the most irritating, those are the things that we did these 5-minute videos on. So the teacher would start a class. She would show a video. Each one of these would escalate to abuse, neglect, or dysfunction. And then she could stop the video and say to the class, now what went wrong?
Hey, Renee, yes. Let's come back. Let's talk about what you're doing now and how you're impacting lives because of that experience of being a foster parent. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Isn't it interesting how this all started when Renee and her husband took in foster children? If you'd like to hear more of these interviews and you'd like to be a sponsor of this show or do some volunteer work to help it grow, please contact me, jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. That's jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me. I'm Judy Redlick, and this is Encounter. Renee Howitt is my guest. If you've joined us for this first segment, you know that Renee's inspiration came as a foster mom. She got to know a whole lot more than she bargained for about the foster system. She wrote a book. She's also got some documentaries coming out that have already been produced with an aim to help kids learn more about how to raise children.
Thank
Renee,
you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell us some of the titles of your documentaries.
The first one we did is called The Life Sentence. That is about shaken baby or severe head trauma.
Ooh.
And we had 4 families featured in that. All of their babies were shaken, but they survived, which is more often than not now, that is what happens. The second documentary is called The Lifeline, and that is about teen parenting and support systems. Do you have a support system or not, if that would happen to you? And our third is called Parenting Under the Influence, which is self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
With the opioid crisis, we sped up wanting to do that documentary. That wasn't really the next one we had on our mind, but as this crisis continued, we pushed that up to the forefront, and we're actually in the middle of our 4th documentary now. We've just begun work on one that we haven't titled it, with Subject ACEs, which is Adverse Childhood Experiences.
Hmm.
At the same time, we've just released a Bible study titled Family, It's Complicated, and it's a Bible study of the book of Genesis on adverse childhood experiences. So we're introducing the faith-based community to this as well.
What are your documentaries geared toward? What age group?
Our primary target audience is high school students. We are promoting the need to make parenting and child development education a priority in all high schools, reaching all students. We know that about 10% of the student population take those courses now, but more than 80% of us will become parents. And we are in the middle of a public health crisis. This ACEs study that I've mentioned proved in the 1990s that 64% of us grow up in a home with some level of dysfunction.
64% grow up in a home with some level of dysfunction. What about your homes? Do they have some dysfunction? Maybe some of Renee's documentaries and her book might be a an eye-opener for you and might help you get through some of the challenges or your kids get through some of the challenges. Renee, how can people get more information about these items?
Well, they can get it from my website. It's cope24.com. And the Bible study is our attempt at bringing the faith-based community in this. I have to tell you that when we were fighting for these kids, even before I made that hotline phone call, I was very active in a community group with my church. We were doing the Purpose-Driven Life.
By Rick Warren.
Yes. And I knew then that this was the purpose that God had put in my life. And yet, I was then led into our schools where you can't really talk about your faith. And it occurred to me that we've had family dysfunction. You can't find any more dysfunctional families than we see in the book of Genesis.
Right.
And so I recruited a pastor who actually could help me write this Bible study because I'm not qualified to do that. His name's Tim Wiesman. He's a wonderful man. And he actually wrote the spiritual pieces of this Bible study, and he allowed me to partner with him and add the practical pieces to it, getting our church communities to understand, you know, our church leaders, no matter what religion you are, talk about our brokenness. They talk about our angers and our addictions and our mental health problems, depression and anxiety. Where does that come from? And they tell us that it comes from the evil one. And that is true. But when the evil one enters your life through your parents, I mean, are we putting all of those pieces together? Are we connecting those adult problems that we have to something that happened to us when we were infants and toddlers and preschoolers?
And how can you reverse that cycle?
I don't know that you can reverse it as much as we can intervene. We can make people aware of what this has done to you and look at how are you parenting? How are you going to parent? Even if you're a grandparent, you could benefit from the knowledge of this study by then taking this information back to your own children who are probably parenting. And this needs to be in every church, and all church communities need to be looking at these stories that we've read hundreds of times. But this time, read the book of Genesis through the lens of a child. That's what we're asking you to do. A child looking at their parents making all of these decisions. You know, when you think of the book of Genesis and those stories, they're very matter of fact. I mean, I've always read those stories and felt like, are these even real people?
Yeah.
Where's the emotion?
Right. Cain and Abel, that whole...
Right.
That Genesis 3, that all happened with Cain and Abel. So you know the dysfunction was from the beginning of time.
Well, and I ask people to... That's a perfect example. So Adam and Eve are placed in the garden. They're given everything. They're given one rule. They break that rule. We're not told how fast they broke that rule. And they're banished from paradise. So go home and think about what you would do if you were banished from your paradise. We actually all live in paradise here in this nation. So if you went home from work today and found out your spouse lost their job because they did something they weren't supposed to do, they lied, they got caught, and now they're fired. If you've got a great relationship, there's probably going to be a lot of hugging and a lot of tears, and we're going to get through this together. If you've got a rough relationship already, it's going to go south pretty fast. Even in that great relationship, where are you a month down the road when you can't pay your bills? Where are you 3 months down the road when you've eaten into your savings account? And where are you 6 months down the road when we've come to the conclusion we're going to have to sell our house? We're going to have to change our lifestyle, which means our children are witnessing. They're witnessing our arguments, our frustration. Now we're going to tell them we're going to sell our house. You're going to have to leave your school and your neighborhood and your friends. That's what I'm asking people to do. I don't think it was just coincidental that Adam and Eve's first two children are Cain and Abel, and Cain kills his brother? I mean, we just read that like that's not really connected. And I'm saying we need to look at this through a different lens. I think it is connected.
Elements is your new documentary series you're working on now. Talk about that.
So I do critical event review for the state, and we see the same elements. You know, we see immaturity, drugs and alcohol, mental health, absent fathers. That's just to name a few. And so what I'm envisioning is we do a documentary on each one of those separately so that we don't complicate it for our students.
So it's one message and not a multiple amount of messages per documentary.
Right. So our first one was on teen parenting and support systems. How does that differ? If you have a family that's going to support you and help you versus you find you're going to have a baby and you have no support system, what is that going to look like for your life and for the baby's life? Completely different. Then we did one on drugs and alcohol. And we always have people that have actually made these choices and decisions. We interviewed a woman here in Missouri that's sitting in prison. Her child got into her stash and died, 22-month-old. We interviewed a woman here in St. Louis who gave birth to 10 children. All 10 of those children tested positive for opioids, and they were removed from her at the hospital. On baby number 10, she woke up. She said, "What am I doing?" And she spent 2 years of her life getting clean, and she's raising that child now. But it took 9 other babies that were born into this world and had to go into the foster care system and be placed for adoption. We interviewed a family in Jefferson City that adopted 4 girls, 2 pairs of siblings. All 4 of them had fetal alcohol syndrome back in a time when that wasn't really clearly diagnosed. And we interviewed all 4 of those young women, and anybody, even a high school student, can see that they have been affected by mom ingesting alcohol through her whole pregnancy. They'll never live independently. So those are just some of the stories that we have in that video. And now we're working on a documentary in the Elements series on the subject of ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
Wow, Renee, for not having a degree in education, but having so many life's experiences from what God allowed you to encounter by first fostering and then that mushroomed. This should be an encouragement to some of you who have passions on your heart, but think, oh, I don't have the education to do it, or I don't have the time to do it. Renee is a prime example about how she stepped forward and is making a major difference, not only locally, but also nationally. Maybe you'd like to learn more about Renee's work and get some information about the documentaries and get her into your school system or your church. Renee, how can they reach you?
At cope24.com or at Renee Howitt, RENEHOWITT. At cope24.com.
Okay, can you repeat that again?
Renee, RENE, Howitt, HOWITT, at cope24.com.
And the website is cope24.com. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Renee, thanks so much for being my guest today. And if you missed part of this interview, you can listen to it on my website at judyredlick.com/radio. Just give it a couple of days to get up there, and I'm always looking for new topics for shows, so feel free to email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in today.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.